How's it going, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jensen and Reese here with you talking Stanley Cup playoffs. And Robbie, we're on the verge of September. We're also on the verge of the third round because all four series are at 3-1 right now.
It's crazy, Pete. I just got to say, like, this year in particular, being up 3-1, it feels like it's 100% over. Last year, you go back to it, Sharks overcame that. There's teams in history that overcome that it routinely. And even in series, Pete, where you can kind of feel that one team has momentum, right? Like Colorado kind of making that a game. I know they scored a goal with like a few seconds left, but still making that a game. Yesterday, Flyers made a little late push at the end there, right? Like, I just don't see that. Vancouver even tied the game, right? But I just don't see any of those teams overcoming the deficit and winning the series. Do you?
There are two, I think, that have an outside chance, the Avalanche and the Bruins. The other two, unfortunately, I think the ship probably has sailed at this point. Vancouver, though, has put up a really nice fight in this series. I know there was like the first lead change of the series yesterday in a game, and they had a third period lead over Vegas. But Vegas really flexed the muscles there at the end in the third period. But yeah, based on pedigree, based on how highly we thought of these teams all year long, I would say Colorado has the best chance, and then Boston, maybe a close second.
Dallas has weaknesses, okay? This is not some Goliath team squashing the Colorado Avalanche. This is a bunch of things going right for Dallas and a lot of things going wrong for Colorado. Colorado is the better team on paper here, but they are injured, Pete.
I think the Avs will get you to a game six, though. I feel pretty confident about that. Look at Khudobin in the series. I mean, there have been a lot of tight games that have gone back and forth. Khudobin has allowed 14 goals in four games. That's not very good. They don't have Ben Bishop to turn to here on the second of a back-to-back. So hammer Colorado in game five. What happens after that is anybody's guess, because like you said, the Avs are depleted right now. It's not just Grubauer and Johnson. It's Calvert. It's Donskoy, key like third line players, second line players who provide a certain element, and they're missing that right now. And that's why they don't look like the Avs that got through all the rigors in the regular season, even when half their lineup was out, you know?
My issue with cherry picking Colorado now is that Dallas, I mean, every game I say this is going to be the one where they stop scoring five goals. It hasn't happened yet. They're third in goals scored in the playoffs, which is unheard of. I mean, compared to what they were doing in the regular season, the Islanders are fourth in goals in the playoffs. Like, what year is this? Like, how is this happening? So I think under all these circumstances in the bubble, I don't know if this is the case. I'm not speculating, but I'm putting myself in the player's shoes. If I'm away from my family in the bubble, I'm away from my kids, my nice cars, my house, whatever, and I'm down 3-1, I'm not sure I'm finding that extra gear to chip in physically, to chip in and get a dirty goal in these elimination games, Pete.
Right. It depends on the scope of your career, how your desperation level. But yeah, I mean, especially if you've won the cup before, or if you're not really like Colorado, I was thinking too, like, Dallas maybe has that extra desperation level because they're nearing the end of their prime as a team. Whereas Colorado, they know that, I mean, it hasn't gone right for them for sure. Injury-wise, bounces-wise, everything. But like Colorado knows in the back of its mind that they're going to be an elite team for like the next 5 years, right? Not many teams could say that. So take that for what it's worth. But yeah, Dallas, it's been a pretty tight series in power play goals, in goals overall. I think it's 19-15. So, you know, it's been a slim margin for Dallas to win some of these games. So I do think it goes to six, but it's been an entertaining series for one that's 3-1, I think, for sure, with all these big comebacks and everything like that.
Highly entertaining. It's been a competitive series, and Dallas has scored goals where all season long they haven't scored goals, and Francouz hasn't been good. The injuries, we can go over and over and over as to why Dallas holds a 3-1 lead, you know, and Tampa has a 3-1 lead over Boston, which going in, I thought for sure that series was going to go seven games. But just like that, especially off these back-to-backs, next thing you know, it's 3-1, and the Bruins have a goalie issue. You know, these series, they're competitive for the most part, but they're all 3-1. What could I say?
Well, the problem here, there's two problems, one with Boston, one with Dallas. The one with Dallas is that they're allowing 3.23 goals per game. That is not going to win you a Stanley Cup. They've got to figure that out. The good news is if Ben Bishop can come back and get that number lower, but that is not sustainable. The problem with Boston here, Bob, they're allowing 3 goals a game. You mentioned that they have a goalie problem. That's not, if you're allowing 3 goals a game against the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're not winning that series. Honestly, if you're allowing 3 goals a game, period, you're probably not winning a series unless you get really lucky in the postseason. So these teams got to figure it out quickly. I know that in Dallas's case, they're up 3-1, which is great. But Colorado is a formidable foe. They could easily climb back in that series if they keep putting pucks past Dallas, and then their offense dries up. For Boston, I'm just a little bit worried that that veteran core, Bob, they've been around the block. Like, that's one where I say they're probably done.
Yeah, I would take Colorado. I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with both you guys, mainly Pete, that Colorado will find a way today off the back-to-back to get the split. But Dallas is so hot right now, it's really hard to bet against them. I mean, everything seems to be going Dallas's way. Boston, yeah, Robbie, I'm just going to echo your sentiments. It's difficult to find that juice down 3-1 when you're staring at the same old place to have dinner day in and day out. You know, you want to go home and go to your local restaurant or, you know, get some home cooking. So wouldn't be surprised if Boston bows out today.
And a couple of these teams had a clear advantage going into the back-to-backs. I thought, like, Vegas having Leonard, who got the shutout in game 3, and then Fleury won a little shaky early, but overall pretty good and got some help from a couple of posts in that game. But, like, Vegas, Tampa Bay with the clear starter of Vasilevsky, and then the Islanders turned to Thomas Greiss, who picked them up in the other game. And I thought that was a better thing for the Islanders to have Greiss going than it was for the Flyers to have Elliott going. It wasn't the reason the Flyers lost that Elliott played. He wasn't bad. But the clear edges in the back-to-backs, like, especially after things got pushed back. And, like, I know on paper, when I saw that there were two back-to-backs in the Vegas-Vancouver series after things got pushed back, I was like, this series, there's no way Vancouver could win it, right?
Well, not especially with Markstrom. Like, we all know here they rely so heavily on him. In a back-to-back like that, too, there's no, like, I hate to say it, but there's no shot. Like, no shot. Not at all. But for Philadelphia, I was surprised, Pete. I was surprised to see Brian Elliott get the start. I think that's Carter Hart's team. I think that Alain Vigneault has got to shape this for the future. Again, this is not a criticism. This is my opinion solely. I just think when you look at that team, it's going to have to be around Carter Hart. Claude Giroux's a little bit over the hill. Jake Voracek's a little bit over the hill. You're building around Carter Hart now. That's your number one guy. We know what Brian Elliott's capable of. Everybody knows that. But he's an older guy himself. This is Carter Hart's team. You got to go back to him. I'm not saying that he would have won that game, Pete. I don't think many goalies would have beat the Islanders at this point with the type of goals that they're scoring, very hard to play against. But still, I think it sets a precedent for the future that we're behind this guy 100% of the way.
No doubt. And if you do think about it, though, like, it could have made a difference, right? He allowed 3 goals. Like, Carter Hart's had so many games this postseason where he's had a shutout or allowed 1 goal. And, you know, that's really the Flyers with their scoring woes. That's their best chance of winning games. We never thought we'd say, right, that the Islanders would be better off if it was high-scoring affairs. But that's what we have here. The Islanders have 4 guys in double digits in scoring, and they have 4 guys. 2 of them are different guys than the points list in terms of having 5+ goals. So they're getting a lot of scoring in bunches from different guys. Josh Bailey's a point per game player in the playoffs with 13 and 13. So yeah, it actually might have favored the Flyers if it was lower scoring, crazy enough to say.
Now the Flyers did look a little bit better late in that game, Pete. They were bringing a different energy than we didn't see in the first 2 periods. Maybe that's a sign that they can carry that over. My only fear with maybe either betting on them or taking them in DFS in the next game, Pete, is just that I'm not sure now if you go back to Carter Hart that he's going to be confident. It's like, okay, you've already yanked him. You gave Elliott the start. Now we're going back to Hart. It just seems like that's too much of a storyline for me to really get back in on that team. I mean, a Barry Trotz coach team in the Islanders. In fact, Trotz, did I hear this last night? He came out and said it was their worst game of the playoffs. I mean, this guy is so far ahead of everybody else in terms of mind games. He's already in the Stanley Cup finals, this guy.
He's playing reverse psychology, and, like, the Islanders are on the verge of the conference finals for the first time since 1993, and he's still, like, bringing up negatives and I mean, that's when I've been watching the Islanders, like, I was talking about it on the last show. After game 2, when they came back and nearly won to go up 2-0, I felt so good about them in terms of winning the series. And like, we don't want to look ahead too much right now, but I hear way too many people saying that it's going to be a cakewalk for Tampa Bay. And I just don't think you can keep underestimating this team. I don't know. I just feel like if Tampa Bay underestimates that team, if it gets to that series, one or two games, it could be like,
Here's my thing, Pete. And again, I was the only guy on the Islanders heading into this format. I was the only guy before the qualifiers that was in on the Islanders here.
You are.
This is a cakewalk for Tampa Bay. If they get there, if they get past the Bruins, they got to close out, though. We got to see Tampa Bay close out, put their foot down, and look like that elite contending team we know they can be. The thing about Tampa Bay, this is a squad, Pete, that just looks different. There's a different feel. We've got Kevin Shattenkirk, who I was critical of that play for Tampa Bay. This is a different team. These are different players, different year, different format. I think that New York Islanders, same thing with Philadelphia, they were a little too streaky in the regular season. We saw the big, 17-3-1, whatever it was, and then they were under 500 for the rest of the season, right? I think the same thing with the Flyers. Win 10, lose 10. I think their luck's going to run out. And I'm not saying it's all luck. They deserve a lot of praise, but still.
I'm not going gaga over the Islanders' victory over the Flyers or the Florida Panthers. They have played well, and they will give Tampa some fits. I mean, I'm not saying the Islanders are going to roll over. If we get there, the Islanders aren't going to roll over. I mean, the Islanders will get a few games, but Tampa will win the series. Okay. We have to keep things in perspective here. The Flyers can't score goals. The Flyers are not the same team that they were in the regular season here. Okay. The Islanders are rolling, but they played the Panthers, playing the Flyers, who can't score goals. Now it's big boy hockey, and not to say they can't play big boy hockey, but the upper echelon teams going into this were Tampa, Boston, the Avalanche, Vegas, and the cream rises. The cream has risen, and the cream will rise in the East as Tampa, if they face the Islanders, I think Tampa will win. I don't think it's going out on a limb saying that, but no, I just think it's a mismatch.
I mean, you mentioned those two other teams. They did beat the Capitals pretty easily. So, like, the Capitals were a team that I think going into the whole tournament,
because they didn't show up. That's right. They didn't show up to play hockey.
Yeah.
Right. The Capitals have their flaws, without question. I'm just saying, like, that is a different type of level. That's a big boy team that they went out and spanked. So, I think that we give them some credit for that. But, yeah, the deeper you get here, it's going to get to the point where – any weaknesses get exposed, and the teams that have, like, look at Tampa Bay's road. It's not even close compared to the Islanders' road, having to go through that Columbus series, tooth and nails, and then, beat the Boston Bruins in the way that they've had. I mean, early in the Bruins series was not an easy going. Think back to game two, that game went to overtime. If Boston gets a bounce, they probably win the series. I mean, flat out. So, Tampa Bay overcame a lot in the playoffs so far. So that should pay off for them if they match up against the Islanders, which would be a better draw than you could have ever imagined, probably, for Tampa.
And just the only reason we're jumping ahead here and even talking about hypotheticals is because just going back to this, I don't think that we're going to see anybody come back from this deficit and take it to a game seven. Like, I would love to be talking about that. Normally you would say at this time of year, like, oh, I feel like this team's got it in them. I'm just not comfortable saying that. And honestly, with the Lightning here too, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because every single season, Pete, for the last, since like 2014-15, there's been a problem with that team in the postseason. So I don't want to put all my chips here on the Lightning. I like talking about the East right now because it's unpredictable. Whereas in the West, Dallas, Vegas, Western Conference Final, like, that's set in stone, and we can talk about that at length. I think the East is just a little bit more of a toss-up. That's why I like trying to break that down.
And, yeah, talking about the West, remember that one of the best round-robin games was the one when Dallas played Vegas, and Dallas was up, I think, 3-1, and then Vegas scored like four goals in a row or something. So that could be a really captivating series. One question I had for you guys about Dallas versus the Islanders, two teams that really underachieved scoring-wise in the regular season, now are lighting it up. Which team do you think has a better chance to keep the scoring going? Is it Dallas or the Islanders?
Well, Pageau has been the best trade deadline acquisition by a mile. Mm-hmm. And the way that he's scoring, Pete, he's always in the play. I mean, like, he could have more goals, honestly. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he had even more goals than he does. Like, he's always around the net. He's always creating chances for himself. He's not relying on anybody else. I think that goal last night against Elliott, Pete, I think, like, Scott Mayfield assisted on that. Scott Mayfield, you know what I mean? Like, this is JG Peugeot doing this pretty much all by himself out there. I think it's the Islanders that have – and this is going to shock a lot of people because the Stars have Pavelski, Radulov, Sagan. I think the Islanders consistently scoring 3 goals a game with the way that they're dumping pucks in, winning board battles, I think that's more conducive to keeping up in this format than Dallas getting goals from Rupi Hintz, who's a good player, but I don't think that these guys can keep this up over an extended period of time.
That's fair. I mean, I think, yeah, look at how Vancouver's offense looked coming into the series, the power play. It's like Vegas has that Vegas can squash you. They can squash you no matter how good your offense is. So, yeah, that's a concern for them. Also, Dallas, yeah. I mean, once if they ever start breaking up the lines after a loss or two, I mean, it's going to be a lost cause, I think, for Dallas. Yeah, Peugeot, probably the best third liner left in the playoffs, right? Either him or Alex Tuch. It's pretty close. Both have been great stories. But, yeah, Peugeot is amazing. It feels like his line mates some games get scratched. Like, it's not always, right, Brassard plays, then he gets scratched. It's just like he has nothing around him, and he's scoring, like, 7 goals or something. So, yeah, those couple of key guys scoring goals for the Islanders, whether it's Lee on the top line, Peugeot on the third line, Brock Nelson had 2 goals yesterday. Beauvillier's been amazing. How about that behind-the-back kick pass from Beauvillier to set up that two-on-one give-and-go? I mean, he's playing with amazing confidence. Beauvillier and Bailey are playing with incredible confidence right now, confidence that I haven't seen them play with in their whole careers.
Beauvillier and Barzal were drafted in the same class, the same first round. So credit to the – I mean, this is going back – a couple years now, Pete, like, credit to them with the foresight for this. And Beauvillier is emerging as a great player. Now, the only reason that, and I think Dallas is the better team here if we're talking about Islanders versus Dallas in a team context. The reason why the Islanders have the upper hand too, they're getting a 95.5 5-on-5 save percentage. That's the best in the postseason. That's between Grice and Varlamov for the most part, right? Dallas, on the other hand, they are not doing well in that area. They're down at 92.6%. They need that to go up. Both their shooting percentages are actually fine. They're not overshooting. They're not overscoring. Neither of these teams are. They're putting up good shot volumes, which is great to see. So it is sustainable for both teams to keep scoring. But in Dallas's case, if they get that 5-on-5 save percentage up, Pete, that's a legitimate contender.
It's true, but I think that 5-on-5 save percentage against Vegas, who rolls 3 strong lines, is probably going to dip at least a little bit once it comes next round. Again, not to look ahead and count all these teams out, there is a chance. You said, I'm glad you said it, that the Sharks came back from 3-1 down against a team at the time when they did it. I know a lot of things broke in their favor, but remember the points that Vegas was putting up and that top line was just pounding out. They were scoring like 2 points a game or something through the first 4 games of the series. So things can drastically change. Don't forget about that.
Well, we gotta throw something out here for the listeners who want to put something down on one of these teams making a comeback in the series. For me, myself, like, I got to see a Game 7 here. Come on. Like, I got to see Game 7 overtime where no matter what team's playing, we're on the edge of our seat. I think Colorado's the easy pick here. Pete, before we get ahead of ourselves, do you think that there is appeal in Vancouver coming back? Like, they've looked okay. Quinn Hughes has actually had a few bad games in a row. There's no way that's going to last. Like, do you think there's any appeal in that, especially with Fleury and Lehner now kind of being a timeshare again? Any appeal at all? Outsider appeal?
I think there's some appeal for them to maybe steal Game 5 just because, like, the odds are probably going to be bloated in the other direction. So the series odds are bloated and a lot of the individual games have been too. So Vancouver has probably deserved a little bit better than it's gotten, like I said earlier. So, yeah, I think maybe if we're looking at Game 5s, you know, I think Philly's done. I felt that way after Game 2. And Boston, as much as we like that core, you're not liking – I mean, Tampa Bay is just on another level right now. So I do think Vancouver probably has the second-best chance behind Colorado to force Game 6, crazy enough, because Vegas is a juggernaut. But, yeah, I do – I mean, Bo Horvat's leading the league in goals. He's got 9. ahead of all those other guys. So
Markstrom better get pretty hot if that's the case, because Vegas is just chance after chance, and their players are just, I mean, again, that team is built to win the Stanley Cup. You could see it when they play. Canucks have to finish the game out last night. I mean, they have a 3-2 series going, a 3-2 game heading into the third period, and bingo, bango, bungo, it's 5-3, and that's it. They're down 3-1. That's how quickly Vegas goes. I mean, they are just a quick strike offense. And any team that's behind, okay, going into the third period, I have so much confidence in Vegas to come back. So keep a peek on those live lines, because you can get some great value on Vegas. Going into the game, they're minus 200. But going into that third period, you might be able to get them at plus 250, plus 300 to win the game. And they made it look easy last night.
To be honest, take it from Bobby. Like, that's the only way right now that you should be playing these games if you're betting. Like, I have – my gut is telling me nobody is coming back from this 3-1 deficit, not even Colorado. So I think if you do want to look at, like, period-to-period stuff and action, like, that's probably your way to get it. But I just – in this format, in this weird kind of postseason, in this weird world that we're living in currently, I just don't see it, Pete. No chance.
And this is what happens when a team is up 3-1. They go, they get on the airplane, they travel to the city. There's a little relaxation. They go have a nice dinner out. They go have a couple drinks. You know, there's a relaxation that happens with the team that's up 3-1. The other team is fighting for their lives. They're focused. They're desperate. They probably have a quiet night in the hotel. You know, all of this, these factors are now gone. Now you're in the bubble. You, everything is just, the playing field is completely leveled. So that's why it's hard to see, you know, a team losing focus or a team, you know, taking it easy and giving up a 3-1 lead. I just, it's going to be tough. I just don't see it. If there was a bet out there, will there be a team that even forces a game seven? I would say no. I would say no. Even that's just forcing a game seven. I want to see it. I don't think we're going to see a game seven in these series.
Keep an eye on, we're talking about these live lines, keep an eye on Dallas. I mean, has any team had better quick strike ability, scoring two or three goals in like a 2 or 3 minute span than that team this postseason, especially since the Calgary series started up and really ramped up in the tail end of that series? But they scored 3 goals in a jiffy the other day. They were like, you know, there have been other games where they've dropped 2 or 3 to come back and take the lead. So live line, third period, if the Avs have a lead, that's really, you could jump on Dallas and feel pretty confident doing so, I think.
I just wanted to tease a few offseason things here too, Pete. Like, going back to the midseason here, when they made coaching changes in Dallas and in Vegas, like at the time, it was kind of surprising, both of those. Look at those teams now. Right? Like, that was almost strengthened up their team. I think one team that should have considered doing that was the Washington Capitals. I think when you're reluctant to do that and you give guys too long of a leash, you get burned later on. So definitely pay attention to some coaching changes in the offseason. And then another thing too, before we go, what is the cap impact there in Pittsburgh, Pete? Are you seeing anything maybe for next season? Am I reading too deep into that, or is the Pittsburgh ship sailed?
It's sailing. It hasn't sailed yet. When you have Crosby and Malkin and you have Gensel healthy and you have Zucker and Hornquist and all these guys, but you do have all these forwards. Remember, Malkin dealt with an injury. I think you gave them a pass for the playoffs. I think that's absolutely fair. But when you look at that team on paper for next year, you see Malkin with Gensel and Zucker, and then you see a spot on the right wing on Sidney Crosby's line. And when you look at the speed of Kapanen, two-way ability, he could be a great complimentary piece on that line. So when you see Sheary playing there, you see some other cast of characters throughout the season, you never know which guy might be a perfect blend with Sid. So I think Kapanen checks a couple of those boxes. He would be like a late round sleeper for me. And it's going to be mostly at even strength because he's not going to sniff the power play one. But it's one of those things that, you know, you nail him, you get 60 points, most of them at even strength, great plus minus, and he ends up being a steal for you.
I just think that Kapanen, he had his shot with Tavares. He had his shot with Matthews. I mean, if you're not making it work with those two guys, I'm not sure that Crosby and Malkin are turning that key and unlocking this unforeseen potential. Now, I know that it is taking guys a little bit longer, Pete, to start scoring goals, to start breaking out offensively, no matter what position you're playing. We're seeing the same phenomenon with defensemen. In fact, honestly, we're seeing it with goalies too, taking a few more years to really get established in the league now. So I do see there being upside there. I just think this Pittsburgh Penguins team, Like, there's something fundamentally off there now. They obviously won their cups. No one feels sorry for them. It's not, we're not sympathizing right now for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I do think that there is appeal to Kapanen. They might have another run left in them, but I would wait, Pete. Like, if he falls into my lap in like the last round, I'll take him, but I'm not, there's no way I'm reaching for him.
Yeah, and there have been, you know, some concerns about the Penguins. Like, I know going into last year, I picked them to miss the playoffs, and they ended up overcoming all those injuries, which was a testament to the group that JR put together. But it's just, it's like they're a flawed team. They're getting worse and worse here. When you get swept in the playoffs, and then the next year you lose with a whimper to maybe the worst team in the whole tournament, it has to, you know, ring the alarms. I mean, something's off. And now they trade a first round pick for Kapanen. I mean, I don't know if that's the quick fixes are running out.
Hey, whoever has to do the rebuild in Pittsburgh, good luck to you, because Jimmy Rutherford is going to fly the coop. And then whoever's got to do that rebuild at some point, Wow, is it going to be some rebuild? Just so I'm clear, because I don't think I said anything of substance earlier in the program, and I'm sorry to all the listeners. I don't think I said anything of substance. Just to be clear here today, on a Monday, I will be taking the Tampa Bay Lightning at still a fair price. You're still getting Tampa at a very fair price. I would lean to the under in that game. I would lean to the under 5.5 in that game. And you know what? Dallas, Colorado, back-to-back high event hockey, I would lean to the over 6 in that game. Those would be my three top plays, but my favorite play would be the Lightning. I just think they're the better team right now. I think Boston wants to say goodbye. I think Tampa is rolling, and you're getting them at an excellent price at minus 120. So I think Tampa would be my favorite play today.
If you were daring to go on the puck line between Tampa Bay or Colorado, two teams I think we both think have a great chance to win game 5, who are you more confident with? You think Tampa maybe blows them out of the water and ends the series?
I think Boston can give them a fight. I could see an overtime game, potentially like 2-2 heading into overtime. You know, I think Boston will give them a fight. They're a veteran group who will be, you know, have some pride. Colorado, I think, you know what, take them on the puck line if you like them. Take them on the puck line. You don't want to pay the high price. You want to get some good value. Hopefully, all you hope for with the puck line is the net empty at the end of the game with the lead, and hopefully you can get an empty netter and win the bet.
You better hope they're not starting Francois then, because you were dogging him earlier in the program. So
he's got to be better though, Rob. He's been bad.
Yeah,
he's been bad, and it's not all his fault. But early in that game yesterday, you got to make a couple saves. You got to make a couple saves, settle the team down. You can't be looking up at the scoreboard and have it be 3-0.
Yeah, the first two were bad. The one was he fumbled the rebound, and then the other one was juicy rebound, and the Stars are playing really well in front of the net and getting pucks to the net too. So they're getting a lot of tips. They're getting a lot of action on the rebounds. So, that's been a big storyline for sure. And with Dallas, it's like, it's crazy because we had high expectations for them entering the season, but then like you were mentioning the coaching changes. I mean, for a while, it didn't seem like it was really making much of a difference at all in the right direction. They kind of limped into the final game of the round robin, right? They weren't looking very good at all. And now all of a sudden that chemistry, that mojo is back. That mojo that we kind of saw in the Winter Classic, right? I mean, you look back at that game, that was a huge positive momentum boost. And, Dallas is hitting their potential at the best time of year.
Last thing I'll say is anything that happened in the regular season, I think we've learned, fellas, it really doesn't mean anything. I mean, these younger players have gotten a lot better. You know, it's 3-4 months off. Teams have changed. Complexions have changed. We can't keep going back and referencing what happened during the regular season when you start to realize how much time was missed from the regular season to now. So, you know, Dallas had, you know, we had Daryl Ray on NHL at the Rink, and he was saying, listen, Dallas has had scoring chances all season long. They just couldn't get the puck in the net. It wasn't like they weren't generating chances. For whatever reason, they just didn't have any puck luck. They didn't have any bounces. They didn't get the puck in the net. Tyler Seguin's shooting percentage was dipping. They couldn't get pucks in the net. Mm-hmm. Now they show up at the tournament here, bubble, 4 months later, and now you're getting pucks in the net. So, what can you make of it?
The reason why I wouldn't bet on Colorado today is because of ice time. Dallas, the leading ice time forward was Joe Pavelski with 18 minutes, whereas you had Colorado, you had Rantanen playing 22, you had Landeskog playing 23, you had Mac playing 23. Dallas is totally rested. All four lines were rolled last night. I mean, like, I'd love to see Mac take over, Pete, superhero, cape on, everything. I want to see that. I just think it's more economical and smarter to stay away from this game. If you're going to bet, take Dallas, take Tampa to close out.
That's a good point, Robbie. I mean, I think we saw that yesterday, too, with Vegas and Vancouver. Vancouver, the night before, were playing more minutes. And then, you know, of course, they had Markstrom off the back-to-back, too, playing both games. Third period comes along. Vegas was a fresher team. They had more depth. Pete DeBoer said it flat out. We are a more depth team than Vancouver. It showed in that third period between those two teams.
Yeah, and one crazy note I saw, like, I know you were saying don't look at the regular season, but I think Dallas had only scored 5+ goals 5 times in the whole regular season, and they've done it 6 times in the playoffs. Wow. I mean, that shows how night and day it can be, especially with how long ago it was.
That's why I want a Rick Bonus trading card. Or if someone wants to make me a Rick Bonus custom blanket, think about it. Winter falls right around the corner. Could you imagine Bob sitting by the fire wrapped around a Rick Bonus blanket? Oh my God. Somebody please out there, send it to me, DM me. Let's go.
I'm going to close out just by giving Bob a pat on the back here. You were on this Rick Bonus train. I have to say, you were the only one not looking at his previous record and saying that you think he's doing good things for Dallas. So I got to tip my cap to Bobby. You can catch us all on Twitter though. I'm at NHL Reese, Petey's at NHL Jensen, Bob's at Air Checked.
Yep, and I wanted to mention, too, Bobby picked the over for Colorado-Dallas. If Michael – watch the lineups. If Michael Hutchinson's in there, that's as big of a lock as you could ever get for this deep into the postseason. So, and they did say maybe a little goalie change. They made the goalie change last game, right? So you never know.
Right, stranger things have happened, but I agree, Pete. If it is Michael Hutchinson in there, pay attention to the starting goalies today. That is a lineup lock for the over, no question. Not DFS. Do not put him in your – just to be abundantly clear, do not put him in your DFS lineup. That is an over lock, not a DFS lock.
And, Robbie, we're probably going to get ahead to some of the look-aheads to next season once this round ends, right? We're going to have – we'll be down to 4 teams. We could start shuffling the rankings and everything and keep the ball rolling. So, anyway, so great show today, buddy.
That is my favorite time of year, Pete. So, yeah, great show. Thanks, Bobby, for the Rick Bonus talk again. And I guess we'll catch you guys tomorrow.